Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening? Cool. Track started, we didn't hit a button, but here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the fastest 30 minutes in sports. Yours truly, Vinny Moore, with you, cutting off the intro. We are behind the eight ball. I got to share some things with you guys tonight. Fun things going on. For those of you who know the story of what's going on with not only the family, but the home, my particular personal home, we're doing a lot of work over there. And I literally lost track of time, looked up, and realized, hey, I've got a show to do. So let me get my tickets together and get back where I'm supposed to be. So my apologies to my production team and staff. We didn't get a chance to get a lot of our little customized things done. So you know what? Tonight you get me. And I guess many of you that listen to the show and chime in and take advantage of the VIN picks and all the fun things we do here for your fantasy love, we're still going to get you the information you need. But I do apologize. No Mike and Mike, Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks tonight. The guys were on vacation, and I'm just not going to give you guys some garbage. So I do thank you for chiming in, checking it out. Whether or not you're checking it in live or checking it in on post the actual live presentation, it's cool. But let's talk a little bit about college football. We'll get into your fantasy situations for the week, and as is always, I'll give you my picks for Week 12 in the National Football League, coming off a 13-3 week. We're still kicking all the Showtime pundits. We're kicking all the HBO pundits. Really, really good at what we do. Let's get you updated on some of the happenings. I mean, obviously, it's been with the holiday on Thursday. A lot of football games have simply been played on Fridays. There are some games tomorrow to talk about, but just to bring you up to date, Boise is playing Nevada right now, up 10-0 right now. Arizona got smoked by number one Oregon, 48-29. Nebraska rolls over Colorado, 45-17. Auburn, a 28-27 winner over Alabama. That must have been a great game. I wish I had got a chance to say it. I understand Auburn had to rally from 24 down to pull that out. Texas A&M last night took care of Texas 24-17. Looking forward to tomorrow, Michigan and Ohio State. What used to be a very, very big-time game for both of those programs now, not so much. Ohio State has maintained their level of excellence. Michigan, unfortunately, has fallen off under the Rich Rodriguez leadership. Let's see. Michigan State, number 10, takes on Penn State. Virginia takes on Virginia Tech. 14th-ranked Missouri takes on Kentucky. Number 5, LSU will take on Arkansas. Number 22, Florida State will take on Florida. When was the last time you saw a Florida program that wasn't ranked? How weird is that? Number 23, NC State takes on Maryland. Number 24, Iowa takes on Minnesota. Number 20, Utah takes on BYU. The Utah Utes, how do you go from 5 to 20? You know what? You're just really overhyped, and you're not as good as the deliverable. Number 7, Wisconsin plays Northwestern. Number 3, TCU takes on University of New Mexico. 25, Mississippi State takes on Mississippi. And what is always an interesting situation, the 18th-ranked South Carolina Gamecocks will take on Clemson. Let's hope nothing obstinate takes on tomorrow. Yeah, history has a habit of sometimes repeating itself. And for those of you who remember that disaster that happened when both programs came to the 50-yard line and the brawl, basic brawl broke out. And here's Lou Holtz, who was the coach at the time, kind of in the middle of all that. Number 6, Stanford will take on Oregon State. Number 9, Oklahoma State will take on number 13, Oklahoma. That should be an absolutely great, great game. Moving right into the National Basketball Association tonight. Games currently going on right now, and a couple of things have just gone final. Let's see. You've got Miami 99, Philadelphia 90. You've got the Lakers down by three to Utah. Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant and the boys, 110-106 over Indiana. Dallas 103 over San Antonio, 103-94. Chicago closing the gap on Denver, who had a big lead early. It's now 76-73, the Nuggets. Games in the fourth quarter, the Clippers trailing by six to the Phoenix Suns. Correct that. That's actually trailing 104-90 to Phoenix. Golden State losing to Memphis 67-62. New Orleans 52-48 over Portland. Orlando, a 111-100 winner over Cleveland. Those games have gone final. Charlotte, a 10-point winner over Houston. Boston, a 110-101 winner over Toronto. And Detroit, a 103-89 winner over Milwaukee. For those of you who do follow the league, please know the day is coming when LeBron has to return to Cleveland. And I believe that was today. Well, guess what? Miami wins. That's all you need to know. Nothing stellar, nothing to brag about, nothing to truly write home about. Miami wins. All right, whatever. No one cares, I can tell. Nebraska whips on Colorado, and again, no one cares. Kevin Garnett lifts the Celtics past the Raptors and Rajon Rondo's return after his little day off. No one cares. Tennessee tops Villanova in the NIT tip-off. Nobody cares. Well, so much for that. 10:06 on your Friday night. Let's see if we can't pull up some of your fantasy information and see if we can't get you guys really rock and rolling this week. So, to the college pick'em, and let's see what we got going on this week. There is the list, and here we go. Top 10 on college football for this coming weekend: Michigan State at Penn State. You got to love Michigan State in that game. Number five, LSU goes, and a 10-1 LSU squad goes to Arkansas to play the 9-2 Razorbacks. That's a dangerous game for LSU. Uniquely enough, Arkansas can score, so I'm gonna go against the grain a little bit. I'm gonna take Arkansas in an upset there. Florida State, the 8-3 Seminoles against the 7-4 Florida Gators. The 7-4 Gators, who are no longer ranked. How weird does that sound to say? Anyway, 8-3 Florida State Seminoles probably handle their business at home. The North Carolina State Wolfpack, 8-3 against the Maryland Terrapins, 7-4. I'm going to lean toward North Carolina State and the Wolfpack. There's some ACC implications in that one. The Washington State Huskies at 4-6 take on the California Golden Bears at 5-6. Two programs just really fighting for a little bit of respect, but a California Bears win makes them bowl eligible, and that's pretty significant for those guys. The 7-4 Mississippi State Bulldogs travel to play the Rebels of Mississippi, leading toward the Bulldogs, Mississippi State in that one. South Carolina Gamecocks and Clemson Tigers. If no brawl breaks out, you can look for South Carolina to control the clock and take a win from that game. The 6-5 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, the 5-6 Georgia Bulldogs. This game reeks of just good old-fashioned rivalry. You throw the records out the window. So I'm going to lead to Georgia since they're actually the home team in this one. And what used to be one of the biggest games of the year, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish playing the USC Trojans. 7-4 Trojan squad playing a 6-5 Irish squad. If the game really truly meant anything and USC wasn't on probation and all the players were in place, Pete Carroll were there, you know, whether it was Charlie West or whoever was the coach, you know, it might have meant something. This game now is really just, you know, you come, you look at the colors and remember what used to be. So, you know, hopefully the Irish can return to form, you know, to great form in the coming seasons. Number 13, Oklahoma, the Sooners, 9-2, take on the 10-1 Oklahoma State Cowboys. And, again, going to press against the odds a little bit and go with Oklahoma State in this game. All right, that is your picks for college football for your Friday night. Now, let's see. We need to move, so we're going to go to the fantasy side. We're going to look a little bit more at some fantasy setups for who's got what. Y'all, bitch, bear with me a second. And again, I told you, we didn't get a chance to do any type of production, so I do apologize to you guys. Normally, this would have been something that we would have had in place, and it's nobody's fault but mine. So I will eat that wholeheartedly. However, I must admit I'm excited about what is going on with my family, with the house. So once I get done hanging out with you guys tonight, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually, you know, take a shower, get myself together, and I'm going back to work. So there you go. You know, got to be committed because you got to keep peace in your household. Okay. All right. Well, Sortable, week 12 projections for your fantasy love out there. Let's just jump right into it. Your quarterbacks this week, considering those who may or may not have already played, if you had Drew Brees on Thanksgiving Day, you probably did pretty well. Peyton Manning's your number two this week. Michael Vick, the number three. Roethlisberger, number four. Sean Hill was your number five, and I'm sure that was just because of the matchup. And I'm not quite sure, but they've got Phillip Rivers listed below Sean Hill. How many times in life will that ever happen? All right. Anyway, so those are your top six quarterbacks in the fantasy world. Let's move right on over to the running backs. Tops on your running backs this week. Out of Cleveland, Peyton Hillis has aspired to number one. That has to be purely a matchup situation. Chris Johnson's your number two running back this week. Frank Gore's number three. Adrian Peterson of Minnesota, number four. Steven Jackson's your number five. Ray Rice, six. Arian Foster, number seven. I can't believe I actually went seven deep. But I guess I got to go to show some Maurice Jones-Drew love. So after Arian Foster, you get your Rashard Mendenhall projected to go 18. Maurice Jones-Drew at 17. So that is 3, 6. That's nine deep for your fantasy love. After that, you get an Ahmad Bradshaw sighting. You get a Darren McFadden sighting around 11. So anyway, hopefully you've got some options and choices for your fantasy squad this week for those of you who will play it back. For those of you looking at your wide receivers, I hope you had Calvin Johnson. He was your number one ranked wideout this week on Detroit. Didn't quite work out the way. He did get a touchdown, but didn't quite work out quite the way we had hoped. We should have gotten multiple touchdowns. Number two this week was Greg Jennings of Green Bay. Number three, Mike Wallace of Pittsburgh. Number four, Andre Johnson of Houston. Then Brandon Lloyd of Denver. Then Roddy White of Atlanta. And then Dwayne Bowe of Kansas City. There's a Mario Manningham sighting about nine deep. 3, 6. Actually, he's number eight. Then a Terrell Owens, number nine. T.O. did not have a great game this past Thanksgiving Day. He was projected to do better than he did. But then again, these are projections. There is no true science to this based on their performance in the past. You do get a DeSean Jackson sighting around 12, but that matchup against the Bears weekend may have something to do with that. So, and because I want to show you some true love this week, let's take a look at your tight ends. Number one on the board this week, Todd Heap. Number two, Jacob Tammy for Indianapolis. Number three, Kevin Boss of the Giants. Number four, Mercedes Lewis of Jacksonville. Then you get a Rob Gronkowski, who had a solid game against Detroit. Jason Witten was next on the board, who had a solid game against the Saints. You had a Kreese Cooley sightings. That is 3, 6, 7 down. Then a Jimmy Graham sighting. So you get a Tony Gonzalez within the top 10. So for those of you looking at Atlanta, there's some love for you as well. Let's move right over to the defense as we're now filling up some time here. The number one matchup defense this week, Cleveland Browns. Oh, well, that, I don't know how often that's ever happened. The Oakland Raiders coming at number two. The Bears are the number three. Again, if they can control Michael Vick and keep him in the pocket, that could be a lot of fun. Number four is the Jets. Number five, the Eagles. And again, the Eagles, Bears, a primetime afternoon game on Sunday, 4:15 Eastern time, 3:15 in Chicago. Going to be a lot of fun for those of us who just love to watch the game. Now we're going to do something a little strange. We've never done this before, but we're going to actually do kickers. Why? Because we can. I'll just read off 1 through 5 for you. Rob Baronis of Tennessee, Nick Folk of the Jets, Joe Nedney of the 49ers, Sebastian Janikowski of Oakland, Neil Rackers of Houston. Those are your rankings basically for this week in your fantasy world. So hopefully you've got some good options. You've got some good things to think about. Now, without further ado, let's get into why Vincent didn't go undefeated last week, and I'll give you the Vin picks, and we're going to shut it down so yours truly can get himself together and get back over there and help that wonderful team that's doing some awesome work on my home. All right, while I should have gone undefeated, I'll take 13-3. So another short week means obviously I'm working overtime for you guys, my fans. I want to see you happy this holiday season. So before you overindulge in the bird and cranberry sauce and all this wonderful leftover, here's your game plan and some homework for week 12. Patriots at Lions. Played on Thanksgiving Day. Look for Calvin Johnson to have a big day. However, he didn't quite have the day he had hoped for. The Lions have played everyone tough, and even tougher at home. That said, they found a way to lose. The shortest set of wideouts in the NFL possess speed and escapability. Just ask Deion Branch, Wes Welker, and what's that kid's name? The other one. Yeah, Danny Woodhead, him. Anyway, I'm sure if you ask the Lions how that game turned out, they'll tell you that they didn't see it coming. They were ahead at halftime and wound up giving up 20 unanswered points second half and losing 45-24. The Lions made it interesting for a half. The Patriots just blew them out later. Saints at Cowboys. So the Saints have the mojo back, and the Cowboys seem to have some swag as well. What might have been the most entertaining game of the day should have been a Saints shootout. Neither defense really scared anybody, so we looked at Marcus Colson and Dez White to have huge days, which they did. We said Saints by a field goal. Well, guess what? The game was in Dallas's hands to win, and a simple lack of focus allows Malcolm Jenkins to steal a ball from Roy Williams, gives Drew Brees the ball. He simply marches down the field in under 2 minutes, puts up that go-ahead touchdown, and he still actually left time on the clock. Dallas had chances to win this game. The only thing I think we any of us questioned who saw that game was the play calling late in the game by Dallas. Again, they needed a field goal to tie, and they never even got it off. Again, it's sad, but again, when you're a good team, you find ways to win, such as the Saints. When you're a struggling team, as the Cowboys, you somehow find ways to shoot yourself in the foot, even though they've got a bit of swag back since Jason Garrett took over. Bengals at Jets. Well, can you say the Bengals are the most disappointing team in the NFL? You know, keep in mind they can't score. They just can't stop anybody. They couldn't stop Graham on a rusty wheelchair sitting in cement from scoring on them these days. Mark Sanchez and the Jets simply had no mercy on them. And again, it was a tight game for a minute, but ultimately the Bengals found a way to basically screw the pooch on this. So we saw Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes have decent days. Again, it's been, four games straight Santonio Holmes has had a touchdown. They were able to work Sean Green and give Mr. Tomlinson some time to chill, which is actually a good thing. So, again, Jets are 9-2, Bengals 2-9. Enough said. Vikings at the Redskins. So Brad Childress is gone, Leslie Frazier is in, and it's a month late, but so what? The players will rally around the interim coach as all are on notice that change has come. Will the Vikings respond as the Cowboys did when Wade was bounced? I think they will. The Redskins will play tough as they're getting more comfortable with Shanahan's system, but look for Brett and the Vikings to show up and play a lot like the new kids on the block. Vikings by 4. Steelers at Bills. So Buffalo's offense is great when they play a subpar defense. Just ask Cincinnati. But these are the Steelers, a team predicated on defense. Look for Buffalo to be a game. Yeah, they're at home, but that's still Big Ben and the Steelers, and it's just too much for the Bills in this game. But nevertheless, it would be fine to see if Ryan and the boys put up some points. Challenge the Steelers a little bit. The Titans at the Texans. So Vince Young showed how immature he can be, and Jeff Fisher proved he can still be a dad by shutting him down. The games in Houston were, unless a carousel of quarterbacks doesn't land on Kerry Collins, the rest of the season could be lost. Arian Foster will be Arian Foster, and the Texans will win this game by 7. Jaguars at Giants. So the luckiest good team plays a shell-shocked team, and the shell-shocked team is the favorite. Since David Deal went down for the Giants, they haven't been the same. The Jaguars have simply found a way to win games. Somehow I don't think this goes the Jags' way. The Giants are at home, and they're better than the Jags, and they simply prove it on Sunday. Panthers at Browns. Can I scream it loud enough? Stay away from Carolina for at least 2 seasons. The Browns are a good football team. I like what I see from Colt McCoy, even though he's not playing this weekend. Jake DeLome's going to get that start. And Peyton Hillis is for real. The only way the Browns lose this game is if the defense completely falls apart in the second half, which has happened in the past. But it's not going to happen this week. Browns roll. Buccaneers at Ravens. This will probably be the most physical game of the season. Both teams are in the hunt for postseason, and both seek a measure of respect. The Ravens have it. The Buccaneers continue to be Rodney Dangerfield. Though it's being played in Baltimore, I like the Bucs to slow this game down. Remember, this is the same Ravens defense that gave up 34 points to Buffalo. Josh Freeman and the offense may not scare you on paper, but they can control the clock and run the ball. That said, the edge still goes to the Ravens, but only by 3. Vegas is dead wrong on this one. Eagles at Bears. Time to put up or shut up if you're Chicago. Mike Vick is coming with a cast of speedy receivers and a pretty good Eagles defense. All week long, all we've heard is how will the Bears stop Michael Vick. There's been no talk of how the Eagles defense will slow Jay Cutler and the improving offense. If Cutler stays upright and has time, look for the Bears to make this interesting. The Bears are a home dog in this matchup, so I get to be a homer again. I'll take the Bears and the 3.5 points. Packers at Falcons. The most evenly matched game of the day. Matt Ryan and the Birds don't lose at home. If they're going to lose, it would be to an Aaron Rodgers-led group of Packers. Green Bay's defense is getting healthy, but this is still Matt Ryan at home. The shootout begins and ends with Matt Ryan and Roddy White. Falcons by 4. Dolphins at Raiders. Can you say sacrificial lamb? Every good team needs a game like this to get healthy. The Raiders should feast on the wounded Dolphins in what should be a blowout on the West Coast. Raiders big. Chiefs at Seahawks. While the Seahawks struggle on the road, they are a different team at home. The Chiefs have struggled when they've had to come west. This makes for some boring ball unless you've got something to play for. Oh, wait. They do. The Seahawks are in the worst division in football and could win the division title at 8-8. The Chiefs are in first place, but the Chargers are doing what they do every year, making that late charge. As much as I like Matt Hasselbeck at home, I love the Chiefs' run game in this game. Give me Kansas City, and I'll give you the 2 points. Rams at Broncos. The Rams are coming, just not with a lot of wins. The Broncos are a better team at home. Kyle Orton and Brandon Lloyd should have some great fantasy value this week, as the young Ram defense is prone to giving up the occasional big pass play. On the other side, Sam Bradford is getting comfortable, and Steven Jackson looks like he's strong again. What does this mean? The Broncos win in one. Hang on a second. Now, I wrote this, and I couldn't even read it. The Broncos win this one by at least 5, but the Rams keep it close early. Oh, y'all forgive me. Chargers at Colts. So Peyton's interception late in last week's game killed a potential winning or at least tying drive. Now that he's coming home, he welcomes in the number one passing offense in the league. This will be fun. Take the over and try to name the receivers that catch balls in this one. I can see a 41-38 Colts win off a Vinatieri field goal late. 49ers at Cardinals. Who cares? No, really. If the NFC West wasn't a disaster of a division, would anyone even care? The reality is that neither of these teams is officially eliminated yet. Frank Gore has yet to really get out of the box this year. This could be the game that he snaps, and with that, a shootout could break out. And that would be great for a suffering Larry Fitzgerald, you fantasy owners that own the guy. Cardinals are home dogs, and I'm looking at Mike Singletary to rally his team after they were shut out last week. 49ers by a field goal. And that's how we see it. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Whatever your hopes and dreams were for this holiday season, I hope and pray that all of them came true for you. I want you to know I love you, I care about you, and I thank you for being part of the fastest 30 minutes of sports. And we did all that in only 23. So you guys, as always, are phenomenal. And me? Well, I'm just Vinny Moore. And I am just me.
You are spectacular.
Yes, that is true. I said it. I'll cry 2 tears in a bucket.
Who the hell do you think you are?
10:23 on your Friday night. God bless. I am out. Have a great night. Look for you next week. Again, for those of you who want to check us out, it is Blog Talk Radio's fastest 30 minutes of sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore. I have no other time to fill, so guess what? Within 5 minutes of my cutoff time, I'm going to bid you adieu. Have a great night. Love you. Good luck this weekend. Take care.
Wake up, Leona. This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.